Let's bring in Joe Bowen. He is a Leafs play-by-play voice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And by the way, want to mention that we will be covering on Sportsnet the Johnny Bauer Celebration of Life this afternoon. Mr. Bowen, how are you, sir?
Heavy on the mister. I'm good, Jeff.
By the way, that pre-game ceremony last night, I got to say, boy, it struck the right tone. It really did. You know, I know it's funny. I was on Twitter and, you know, I saw a lot of people saying, you know, they were watching it. There wasn't a dry eye. But I kind of came away, and because I've been lucky to meet Johnny a couple of times, I came away feeling just that's a guy like that, that he has to be celebrated. Yeah, you mourn a guy when he passes away, obviously. But that's such a great life lived, isn't it?
It sure is. And Jeff, I want to throw out a big bouquet to Taylor Dean and Mike Ferryman,
mm-hmm.
All of the game ops people who put all of that together. They're the best in the league, in my humble estimation. They do a wonderful job, and they hit it right on the head, I think. The one thing, too, I think that we're going to see today, the visual picture I have of John Bauer is his eyes squinting and his face laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have visions of him playing goal, and those are great as well. But John Bauer laughed at life. He laughed at himself. He laughed at others. He laughed at making fun of himself. And I think we're going to see that today in the celebration of life with his family, his extended family, along with his former teammates. One of the great days that I had doing my job was back in the 80s when the Leafs were training up in Newmarket. And I sat in the corner of the rink with George Armstrong and John Bauer, who had roomed together throughout their tenure as Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I'd had a tape recorder, because all they were doing was telling one story about the other continuously for about 2.5 hours. And I was crying because of laughter. I mean, it's what they did to one another in jest and in good fun was really remarkable. And I think that we're going to hear a lot of those kind of stories today from his family members and from the teammates that he had with the Leafs.
Joe Bowen will be the MC today at the Air Canada Center as we celebrate the life of Johnny Bauer. And as I said, celebration is the that is the key word. It's funny because I did my little New Year's resolution bit yesterday before the start of the show, and one of the things I mentioned is, you know, I went out to visit my mother over Christmas. My mother's 93 and lives at home, single mom, still drives, you know, knock on wood, still, you know, still healthy. She's not very happy when her doctor suggested she go on a gluten-free diet, because she said, I'm 93. Let me have my bread. I'm 93. Let me have my bread. But you know what? There's something about people when they can, and I see it a little bit in my mom, Joe, when they can live life at that age and not be a burden, you know, but sort of elevate you when you're around them. Boy, that's a real gift. Like, that is a real gift.
Yeah, and Johnny did that right to his last breath. I never saw him ever not take the time for a story, a conversation, certainly an autograph, and pictures. I mean, he just would not bypass anyone. And if it was an autograph signing, then he stayed there past the time that he was supposed to be there to make sure everyone got their autograph before he left. And that was John. That was just the way he was, and it's one of the great attributes of a wonderful individual.
Let's move on, shall we, to the current Leafs. And again, the celebration of life will be this afternoon at the Air Canada Center. We will carry it on Sportsnet. Joe, the Leafs 2-0 losers to the Lightning last night. They're 23-16-2, same number of points as they had at this point last year. And I was watching the game last night, Joe, and I'm thinking to myself, it is remarkable. All the stuff that goes on in a regular season, you know, the slumps, the injuries, all that stuff. You hit the halfway point. You watch a team play against a team like the Lightning. And I came away, and, you know, let's face it, if Mitch Marner converts on two of those opportunities, we may be looking at it different. But, Joe, I came away from that feeling the same way I thought about the Leafs in training camp this year and thinking, you know what? I wouldn't mind one more top-end defenseman, and I'll take my chances with this team in the playoffs. I really will. And to me, you know, all things considered, last night, I thought the real difference in that game was the Lightning defense. To me, they were better than the Leafs by a lot in that area.
Well, they've got a big stud back there in Victor Hedman, and talk about Anton Stralman, who bounced around, was here, bounced around, and then, you know, developed into a real solid shutdown defenseman as well. You're not alone when you're talking about we would like one more defenseman. I swear probably 31 teams are looking for one more defenseman. It is a commodity that every team is looking to upgrade. There aren't very many number one defensemen. There are there's a good number of number twos, good number of number threes, and then four, five, and six are where you are at. But it has to be the group. And I hearken back to when Pat Burns' teams did so well in the 90s, they had a group of defensemen. Not one of them was a number one guy. But as a group, they were maybe the best defense core in the National Hockey League. And I'm sure Lou Lamoriello is pounding the phones and everything else, looking to try to upgrade, but at what cost? And that becomes the other aspect of it. So you have to balance that and understand where the strength of this team is. And right now, the strength of this team is the depth they have at forward. And that is a very strong way to play in the playoffs. There's four lines that can score on you, and certainly four lines that are going to be very competitive as long as the injury bug doesn't hit. Mm-hmm. And even if it does, they're still in good shape up there. So at what cost do you go after? Because you're not going to get a number one unless it's a real fluke. And then you're going to be giving up a major league piece from that forward group. If it's a number two, you might be able to work something as a rental. But do you want to give up some of that forward depth? And that's a very difficult decision that is going to keep Mr. Lamoriello and the company up late at night.
Joe, what have you seen of this team at the halfway point? What has surprised you about them? And you know what? What maybe did you expect to see a little more of? What commodity did you expect to see a little more of from this group?
Well, I suppose you thought that maybe everybody would take a sizable step forward offensively. And we really haven't seen that. The youngsters have played well, but they're almost at the point where they were a year ago. The difference is, the situation within the league. They have teams that have just imploded in behind them. So they're better in the standings. The other thing that they have done is corrected a number of issues. Mm-hmm. One, protect a lead. Two, don't blow big leads. Three, play well in overtime and in shootouts, and don't give points away under those circumstances. And I think that demonstrates that as a group, they're a better team. Offensively, I mean, Austin Matthews has been hurt. Mitch Marner's had a bit of a slump. I expected those players to be better offensively at this point. Now, maybe they'll catch fire in the second half, and let's hope so, because if they do, then this team is really going to take a run.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think when I look at where this team is, one of the things that I think if I was a Leafs fan would kind of satisfy me is, Joe, again, absent, you know, maybe needing that other defenseman, and I've seen enough of Morgan Rielly now that I'm willing to say that maybe that other defenseman doesn't have to be of the caliber that I once thought that that defenseman needed to be, because I think Morgan Riley, he may have the capability to be a number one guy in this league, even though I think people look at him and they don't necessarily see an overly physical specimen. But a lot of the things you're talking about with this team seems to me to be almost a situation that can be coached, you know, and I'd rather have that than be in a position now where I'm looking at my team, scratching my head and going, God, I need four players here. you know what I mean? I'd rather say, hey, I've got the right guys. Now I just have to figure out what I need to do or what my coaches need to do to make X, you know, turn into Y. That's what I need right now. I'd rather be in that situation, especially with Mike Babcock, than be saying, God, I got to perform surgery on my roster.
Well, one of the things that I think we have to be cognizant of is when Mike Babcock arrived here, Morgan Riley was not on the power play. Mm-hmm. Morgan Riley was asked to be the shutdown defenseman. We're going to have you on in the important situations defensively. You've got to learn to play better defensively. And he did. And he accepted that role, was not a complainer. But the addition of Ron Hainsey and the decision to team those two up has allowed Morgan Riley to be more of the kind of defenseman that he was in junior and what was certainly there when he arrived here in Toronto. He's a wonderful skater, and he has got great offensive talents. And Ron Hainsey's allowed him to do that. And it was a great decision to put those two together. They're trying to find the right pair for Jake Gardner, and I kind of think that Carrick is that kind of guy, but that's the other aspect of it. Then you've got the two big sluggos at the other end, and Polak and Boardman, who are going to punish people. So, you know, when you take a look at what Pittsburgh did a year ago, and the defense corps that they put into the score sheet for the final games of that Stanley Cup run. And if you tell me that defense corps is better than what the Leafs have right now, I'd argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they paraded the Stanley Cup around. It depends, on a great deal. And everybody's going to want to improve the defense corps at some point. But it is a very difficult situation to do. Washington thought they had it all sewed up when they got Shattenkirk a year ago. And it didn't work out.
Any concern on your part that Lou Lamoriello does not have a contract right now? I mean, you know, obviously as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, people are going to start sort of wondering about that. And I don't know. I mean, Lou, to me, it seems that, you know, Lou wants to be back. He'll be back. At least that's my read from here. I don't know. Maybe he's got a handshake agreement. Who knows? But do you read anything into the idea that perhaps the Leafs need some clarification there?
No, I think that's all done internally, and it will be the decision of an elder statesman in the league whether he wants to continue or not. But there are a number of very talented and capable people waiting in the rings. Kyle Dubas, Mark Hunter, who would slide into that chair, I think, and just do a marvelous job. So I don't think that there's any big reason to worry about one way or the other how that plays out. It will ultimately be, I'm sure, Lou's decision, and whether he wants to go off into retirement or whether he wants to kind of work the Walter Alston 1 year at a time contract, who knows?
Joe, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this. Great work last night. And, you know, as I said, we're looking forward to Johnny Bauer's celebration of life today. And you're the perfect voice to help us through it. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff. Good talking to you.